Obligation on the part of the agreed on until now, and everybody is in agreement that the best place for this to be implemented and executed would be in this area. Having said that, it's placed an enormous burden on coming to that in town planning scheme for two approaches in this area to come to terms with this standard. It's very complex modeling of an integrated implementation. And that's where the main challenge lies. We will be able to go to the administration to actually implement the program.
Thank you.
With the development of human rights, we should be protected and we should actually adhere to already approved council schemes, zoning applications. So we will implement it from our current day into the future. You see, there was light on that we have in terms of the number of hiccups with the appeal court, school district, the appeal court decision of sections 5 and 6, the VFA, actually, and constitution. This actually borders to a certain extent on that same principle that we, from the provincial or national level, prescribe to the municipality how their local plans actually should be set up. If you look at who will be assisted in these projects from the community housing unit point of view, obviously there must be capital contact, must be local residents of South Africa, that means a citizen for the possession of a permanent residence permit, must not have benefited previously from access to the community housing opportunity. The program provides currently for two constructions. The first being a voluntary proactive component, which is the one that we fight at, where the municipality will then determine the parameters and then lure the people into an agreement on how to embark on it. And then, as a fallback position, and this is where the constitutional compliance issue comes to the fore, would be a compulsory but incentive with a regulatory based option. In terms of the voluntary approach, if we can look at the possibilities are to identify community housing projects, the municipality needs to assume what the private sector. So they will earmark that in areas in their bigger drive plan. They could bring local and government on land to the premises, require a minimum proportion of units as affordable stock. And it will vary depending on the extent of the incentives to buy and what mix. Income project will tolerate to make it viable. It also included the notion that we could get preferential access to bulk infrastructure, preferential access to approval processes, which we then come to work with the government in terms of what they have done. The compulsory element on the other side is a regulatory obligation on the municipality, and according to these principles is inapplicable. It's not applying low income areas and these projects supported by subsidies made available in terms of the program outlined in our income. Because we've already developed a program in terms of the government can open and contribute to what's in the area of development on our side. We want the private sector to come to the party and not rely on housing subsidies to do that. But it takes it for a different mix. The affordable units should be very similar in style to the upmarket units so that you don't have a generation of a lower income and higher income segregation in the town. And it's integrated into another upper income development. We've seen even in Cosmo City, which is being afforded as an inclusive model, that there's a very distinct division between subsidy housing, the affordable housing, and the upper market unit. And what normally happens is they do it by terms of the property and the nature of the development area. If one in fact, and it's also very good example, the one near the prison, I'm not sure what the name is, the problem of prison, I think, that corner is a development where the subsidy houses are certainly opposite a marshy area. So we would like a definite inclusive development where of the reason it would mean that if you take an application to return the use of your current site, that the rule will apply to your property. And you will see that it is also applicable if you want to convert your stand from one stand to two sites, it will immediately apply. In this environment, the women scenario should actually suffice as well, otherwise we're not so sure that we will be constitutionally compliant if we don't do it this way. And once again, the property investment involves in connected services to tenant incentives, density bonuses, allow for multi-story units, and some commercial rights that require a 30% of the units in the project must be affordable. See national inclusion parameters, the compulsory inclusion will vary between 30% and 10%. We've written it that way to ensure that we accommodate the variances, the differentiations between the areas and what each area may yield and the pressure will be for economic viable initial users. It will apply to all private sector residential units as projects of two or more units. The maximum portion of affordable inclusion units in a single project may not exceed 6%. What we say there, if you come with a proposal for inclusionary housing more than 60% of looking to inclusionary housing target as not an inclusionary project, it's actually a low income exclusionary project. The compulsory project is currently under evaluation against the appeal court judgment. We have asked the senior stakeholders to give us an opinion where we can proceed with the piece of legislation and in the least compulsory section of the policy. The end result may be that we provide the policy as a guideline for the voluntary side of it. Our feeling, however, is that once you do that, very little of these developments the there's just a move that we'd like to highlight to you. If you are a beneficiary of an inclusionary housing unit, there will be certain restrictions you may have forced on you in regard to the on-selling of your unit. If you sell it in the first 5 years, then the original price for building inflation, except in the case of hardship, would be allowed for you to dispose of your property. If you have hardship credit, then it will be considered that you may sell it market price. Any improvement can be factored into and after a 5 year period. And this 5 year period is the recommendation for the new applicant's right term, which has not been finalized yet, but that is what the draft law actually proposes. After 5 years, you can dispose of the property. If the unit is sold within the 5 years, the owner must also be fulfilling or complying with the requirements of the inclusionary housing profile beneficiaries. Upselling of types will be subject to the same rules. You see the differentiation between certain parts. Certain developers will only develop sites, others will need a comprehensive site and volume of houses development. So we have to apply the rules on vacant sites as well. Now the following slide is very complex. It gives you an idea of what the income cliff strategy would mean. But let me say that these are currently under revision because of the changes to the financial services charter indicators. So, the project where the average unit price exceeds the top of the range of the affordable value defined by the financial services charter plus 40% times 3. At present 1,050,000 rand. The top of the affordable housing range can be increased to the current cut-off for the waiting of transfer costs to 500,000. The other authorities can insert infrastructure at the discretion required up to half the including units below the top of that range. Plus 40% should be at least 50,000 rand. That gives you an indication that it's not earmarked for the subsidy beneficiaries. And it's earmarked for actually the higher upper level of the first target. If you don't do it, then it will be a viable scenario. are very exclusive both for the site development, I would imagine. If there's 2.1 million, then you could agree with the developers to meet the utility requirements of time. Of course, it may not be viable and affordable in your target in that day. So we need some sites in terms of the current transfer where we've got 500,000 men. And it may be met by paying a fee. So you can pay the municipality a penalty for not abiding to the rules so that they can have income to do other developments where they can achieve. And there you can see how the fee is in calculated. Quite complex. The developer requires to buy 20 units to meet the exclusive requirements, and the fee in here will be equal to 20 times the top of the financial service charter and plus 40%. And then there's just a little formula to release the funding as the progress of the project progresses over time. As I've indicated, those things are currently under review due to change in the financial service charter. Minimum spec for the house, 40 square meters. Currently in the policy. Internal bathroom and kitchen area, building standards set by regulatory authorities, so there will be monsoon standards, national monsoon standards, building regulations, NSBRC regulations will apply. We've built in some flexibility that it may be possible to relax the specification in the opinion of the official, the aims of the objective of the inclusive housing will be advanced by such regulation. We have envisaged that we could have a situation where the requirement is 10% and you actually have to be 20%. And you can then register credit for your 10% over and above the 10% requirement. But we have not negotiated with treasury how to deal with that treasury. Of course, it will become a tradable commodity. You can, if you envisage it, you can sell your credit to another person. And make a profit on it. But we haven't discussed it with them, so that process, that structure within the policy is still under development. The incentives, possible introduction of a credit tax credit scheme or further amendments to the tax credit scheme for people who comply, similar to what has been done in the USA. Energetic efforts will be made to mobilize, acquire, and free upstate land, owned land. Provincial and local government grants for inclusive housing in support of the voluntary process. Fast tracking of development approval processes as I admitted to will also be an incentive. In fact, as we're counting our own situation, we should actually remove all these applications of all developments on a regular basis. Incentives are the basis on which town planning compliance components of the the housing program, particularly important are density bonuses, allowance, and certain instances of use rights. Provision of bulk connected services will also be involved in the center if it's linked into the housing program. So, if you do the development of certain processes, you will ensure that that is the work that is available for the development that's provided. Wide range of government subsidies will be available and will be referred to as social housing, institutional housing programs that you can make use of, and obviously also the financing given to subsidies. We have been drafting a piece of legislation to operationalize the bus tracking policy, so there will be an act if that is found to be constitutional compliant. And that act will require municipalities as the main implementing arm of the policy to draw up and implement inclusive housing plans. And you can see the complexity coming into the whole project. We require all spheres of government to apply inclusive housing schemes in line with the national policy and parameters, specifically reporting requirements and responsibilities that will be able to monitor the implementation of the legislation. Just to confirm what work we are currently conducting, we have done a recent workshop group for the state of it, and I'll give you feedback on what they actually say about, which is very important tonight. We're working on the inclusive housing legislation, finalizing the administration guidelines to ensure that the municipality has the guidance to implement. We need got the strategy on the financial side of it, and perhaps also in the tax incentives as well as the strategy. And we're testing the constitutionality of our proposal. Subsequently, the feedback we received from the workshop indicated that the 40 square meter size should be reconsidered as smaller units in a multi-level complex would be feasible as well. So we will have to consider that and be busy doing that. The major concern is that very few municipalities have been quite planning to administer this very complex program. The 5-year restriction on the sale of individuals who are both supported and opposed. On the one side, we're saying that we want a vibrant secondary market, and the other side, we're keeping the people there for 5 years, not allowing them to sell their units. Or if they do sell their units, they're not being involved. The village impact of the policy is a way that will provide the sector that the municipality will unevenly apply the policy, and that it will then result in a practice where certain developers will avoid certain areas and focus on other areas where the municipality is perhaps more lenient towards the application of this program. You may bring the private sector housing development market to need. Market forces should determine value and it should be flexible. The incentives must be clearly outlined and circulated up front so that everybody knows what they are. The finding of Balkan Connector services is a major concern in that. Huge backlog. And what currently happens is where the development is due to the municipality just shifts the responsibility for the financing provision of these Balkan Connector services over the private sector. And these you have these enormous expenses. At last, point number six is a very big concern to us. It means that if we allow somebody in terms of meeting the profile to access an inclusionary housing project, that person may, within 2 or 3 years, not be able to afford living in the area. I think what the first thing that comes to mind is perhaps this role for states, or most of these states, might appear to access control, then levies. Will these people actually be able to afford living there in the long term? In summary, just the challenges that we currently face. It's a high amount of effort for a very limited impact program. At best, 14,000 units per annum, measured against the 500,000 units that we're supposed to develop on that roadway. The level of sophistication required to model viable projects and implement them successfully may not be readily available, hence we may want to tie that out well. Negative impact on the residential sector, risk of withdrawal of the private sector, we need further consultation to get buy-in. What we actually are going to propose from the policy section side is that we undertake a regulatory impact assessment study before we launch even the pilot scheme. There is considerable concern regarding the impact of the policy on the private sector development market. We've learned in the past few years that they've already been grown by and large, and they focus in other countries in Africa. And that we have to build our houses in the low income market, for instance, for small developers. By and large, fail. This is a lot of what projects at the moment. My big concern is the quality of the municipality, the appeal court judgment in the DSA case. We will have to further consult with all our operators, and as I indicated, we will then recommend a regulatory impact assessment study on the project. If you did pay attention, thank you very much.
Everybody in the room, thank you very much. Can I open the floor? Are we going straight to questions now? Or just thank you. We start with you, Mrs. Singh, followed by Mrs. Shepherd. Dr. Shepherd, and then come back to you, and then you can go. Thank you.
not on the cards yet, but I think maybe the need for something along the lines of Virginia. Considering our history, obviously, and the fact that we seem to repeat some of the mistakes we make. But having said that, I'm also, and I think all the sort of positive aspects as well as the negative aspects of life in the presentation. And I want to draw the attention of this conference to the fact that if we look at what has been happening voluntarily, I may say, without any regulation, in our existing previously so-called white suburbs, it has by and large been integrated on a voluntary basis by people. And you can go across the country and you see that. So I'm very wary of the, and again, reference is made within the presentation about the voluntary and the compulsory side. Now, there's absolutely no reason, I think, why government funds on projects that they initiate and they develop, that they shouldn't take the leading role and do something like what is being proposed. Instead of very often selling off very valuable land to private developers, that then excludes the affordable housing and subsidized housing market. So, and when it comes to compulsory part, I would suggest that, besides the incentives, there is certainly must be part where government sells off government money to the government. Then it is a certain percentage must be included in such a way. But beyond that, I think it's very dangerous to start detecting to the private sector what they should and shouldn't do, because the pitfall is behind us. I'm also sensitive that there's a point of concern which I know is being addressed, is just the whole thing about credit and being tradable. Because once you get one developer, then that both are credit, because they almost specialize in the type of inclusion in the market of development. And then they simply can afford to take credit to another private developer that just wants to do the upmarket development. And then get their credit at a cost which to them probably won't mean anything. And they can simply then go ahead and do it. So it's something that obviously needs to be considered. It is in the planning stages, so I presume it will come, we will be interested with it as we go forward. But I'm not sure if I've covered all my points. There's a word number. So there's a slide on compulsory approach. There's key national inclusionary housing parameters. Do not apply to low income areas. Now, I don't understand why we can't assist the government to say, oh, why can't we have, where we put our conventional subsidized housing, have a mix of affordable housing? And we've got to set the example. So why shouldn't this apply? I don't want to perpetuate just the subsidized housing. So I think that's something we could look at when we actually get a mix there as well. Then, the fifth, again under compulsory approach, is a suggestion that will apply, the 10 or 30% will apply to all private residential development projects of two or more units. Now, obviously, two units, it's just individual. And I'm referring to, we're talking about, I think it's page 5. You know, we talk about a voluntary and a compulsory, and then we apply to all private residential. So we're taking away the choice of voluntary or compulsory. And a compulsory, okay. I think that's covered. This is the issue.
Thank you very much. I'm interested in listening. But I just want to say that I don't have to only wish or housing. When you look in that Thank you so much. That's not it has to be real. What is it being a member of the
on it without any advertisement by municipality necessarily, but municipalities have also designed certain parameters for certain developments. But, and that actually raises the question whether we actually need a national program. Perhaps what we need is the guidelines on how to achieve these goals on lessons learned from Cosmo City and other areas as well. Mr. Steinhardt, we presented yesterday to the National Housing Programme researchers integrated residential development, where government is now in a position to do developments on its own land in the municipality of the province, taking for the range of income across the whole area of the jurisdiction, and that would be our contribution. So we have already transversed our policies into achieving that goal. And we would like private sector to lead us halfway, so we set the example and we participate in it. You should remember that very little of our land that we own are good land. We basically have to better call our good land. What is left is the parcel of those 4,000 so. So we must now, through the HTA, once again acquire well located land that meets our development requirements. And perhaps we could then, as indicated in the voluntary section, make the land available for the best proposal to achieve the results of the internship program. We are able to say that in regard to your trade issue, and the credit issue, that the concern to us that it may actually not apply at the end of the day. Just your reference to the 30% in relation to two units, that 30% doesn't work there because if you subdivide your property, it will be a 50% because the next one will have to be an existing one on the property. If that is viable, but that's the current construction. And, in response to your question, I think from the government side, we would like to facilitate the integration of the structure into the upper market and the first people into the development that we finance. And therefore, we thought that the division between the rich and famous and the low income group should actually be the focus of the program. So within a focal holistic development, one should actually achieve integration and not repeat the apartheid development. That should actually be a sad case if that actually happens. Madam, as I indicated, our target group for the first program is actually housing units below 180,000 rand. So if you look in the continuum, as you find that the subsidy, and I'm not too sure whether you know, and that might be, as you said, and I may not tell you this, but you might guess, I'm going to take this on. What's the cost of the housing subsidy? Do you know what the subsidy actually costs currently in this country as we stand here? In Gauteng is 94,000 rand. In the Western Cape, 114,000. Every 10 houses we build is $1 million. Especially whether we can sustain that in the future. But if you look at the continuum, so we subsidize people up to 100,000 rand. The unit currently may go up if you want to introduce energy efficient measures. The first program will cover up to 180, perhaps 200,000, and the inclusion program will then pull the gap up to the higher income groups in the US. So we follow it in terms of that holistic approach. The monitoring would be a type of deed restriction registration in the deeds office, so you will not be able to transfer to your purchaser without the consent of the important minister. So it will be controlled by that. Density development where people share the ownership of open spaces by that individual title itself.
Okay.
But inclusion principles could apply And from then I can manage to rule out the involvement of a lot of information of this decision in time. I don't think it is for whatever private law it is. For the main occasion is once they come, led by the thousands of people in Russia. Surely, it will be very difficult for those that are going to be distracted to a certain moment. And I think to me, the concern that came out in our time, that the citizens have to have all the power. I'm not involved with it, I'm not sure of the whole department right, but I guess that they must be able to wonder. For all the missionaries, processes, and culture that we have to have of, but if they are not very part of it, surely the way they study from it, but also to focus on the conservative, should be really the way to come to that. If whatever reason, I think it is very difficult to do that. I agree with the character speaks of Polish. Except that I'm very used to take all these matters to court. And therefore, I'm not proud of the person to work it out in such a way that the Carolian people, you know, are able to end up with a court. Because it's difficult. And it was the general, the policy opposition to force integration. And then if you take the society itself must reach a stage where they accept integration. That for them to survive is important to integrate. But I'm asking general, all of them, that whether they're white, generally they have to do one institution. They get their communities, you know, that they think they start to understand what to do. Everywhere, not just who does that, whether black or white, all people at a certain level of income, they always go to this now, that's a community. Just saying that if you can challenge them, sure, they'll take them to court. And therefore, I think to me, the area they have come in general is different. Well, I didn't do a service because of the kind of advocates that they require. But I think there are a lot of things that we have to manage in the society. So, also, can push, because I think otherwise, their problem, given the fact that we have the power to put in on the water, they keep, and then they get the conditions who are to expand. Not existing, but and therefore, to reach that stage of socialism, which is inclusion, I think we take a lot of therefore. I guess this is much more political problem, you know, than just building houses in that way. Because some friends say, well, that wasn't a solution. Because some of them, because of them engaged themselves, are they trying to spend with you? Not the town plan. I'm following what the town plan has decided. Therefore, I can't do otherwise. That's the point that I'm thinking of my local days after another.
It's very easy. I think you're right. Some kind of play a significant role in terms of the lifespan of the municipality and also trying to develop and planning to abide by the code. So we've included them in the consultation service from the outset, so they're involved in it. I think your other arguments are quite valid. You recall that one of the slides indicated that the private sector is very important. It's a market forces you have to be determined. And what we've seen lately is because of the credit crunch, that there's a very small demand for the upper income housing types and costs beyond the affordability levels of the average South African. So the debtors are already lowering their targets. And therefore, they are currently participating in CPR because they know that there is a profit portfolio or opportunity for life.
Thank you, Mr. Pascal. Maybe I can just add something to what you were saying. And very important here, talk about inclusionary housing process, planning for inclusionary housing. A lot of that, what we asked for, was we're saying that the planning for inclusionary housing must be placed on inclusionary housing plan in the IEP, in terms of the whole IEP process and the documentation, so that people know that in this whole municipality or in this metro or wherever, this is how we're going to achieve integration. So it's done at a very broad level and brought into the process, then into the state. Because that is socio-economic integration is absolutely huge. And also, the fact that, in fact, what we have here are different strata of economic level. First of all, we subsidize for very low income group up to We have the affordable group, which is 3,500 to 7,000, and essentially this policy is essentially saying to you, Mark, we don't have, and that's our problem in our sector, we don't have sufficient affordable housing. So we've got people who earn more than 3,500, up to 7,000, they don't get a subsidy. Now, you need to fill the gap. This is one of the programs that we use, but the policy, one of the policies that can be used for that gap is we say, look, you can access a subsidy by the flip, but this is obviously the kind of program that you can use, and we have recently started to integrate the process. So, and the other thing about the inclusionary housing policy, almost at the project kind of level. So you integrate an inclusionary housing project into a larger, closer to subsidized housing, whatever, or you bring it into a particular area, so you bring it in and then you achieve the kind of integration.
In a 2 million, 2.2 million project, it would be 500,000 would be your inclusion target.
Yes, there is. So it's that formula that we're going to have to fill around to make sure that we get the right part of the skin and make sure we get the right people with the right people. So, thank you very much. We will hear more about inclusion and housing policy.
Governance, then loss of the well-being is in sin, our dilemma. It isn't a single piece of planning legislation that hasn't seen the Department of Human Settlements or the Department of Economy have custom control. Now, it does not suggest that you don't have anything to say about it. Certainly the Housing Act is completely in line with a number of pieces, that are listed there. And also the comprehensive plan has a lot to say about how we plan, how we develop, and how we grow our citizens. Now, to add a bit more complexity to what I just said there, you have not only national legislation, but you also have provincial and you have municipal legislation. In the provinces, you have what is referred to as provincial planning ordinances. I think in the Western Cape, as the land use planning ordinance, they have various titles across the country. But in effect, what it does is that it allows a province to determine for itself how land is going to be used. And it's done by very specific process. I'm not going to get into that. That is to say that without stating the obvious, there is the potential for conflict between provincial legislation and national legislation. Right? To a lesser extent, municipalities, in terms of the constitution, they are required to provide a whole other function, including legislative functions. Those are referred to as municipal violence. To a lesser extent, it's a problem there. Because whatever legislation or whatever land use schemes are put up by municipalities, they need to align themselves with national legislation. So then, who is responsible for managing the soil? I've attempted to crystallize or boil it down to three major areas. Firstly, the disjuncture in planning legislation. I've talked about it briefly, and I'll get back to that a little later. The second is the concurrent planning and housing functions that occur across the community of the government. And the third one is the targeting of the targeting of funds for municipal development. And I pose the question, we have what is referred to as a conditional job, the integrated housing and human settlement job. We refer to it as a conditional housing job. Well, I pose the question, how conditional is our conditional job? We'll pop that for a minute. The first aspect on why we need legislation. The second bullet actually is in the first bullet. We have currently a legislative system that is in mechanism very, very well. You see in the sub-bullet, I make the point that the South African city of today is really very different from the city of 1986. Now, you might ask, what is the significance of 1986? 1986 was in fact the last time that planning or that provincial planning ordinance had been passed. Right? Remember, I think you have national law and then you have provincial legislation. Well, 1986 in 1986, other than the two long times that I went to church, 1986 was the first time I got a pair of long pants. 1986 was the year in which we were expecting huge uprising in this country. Why? 10 years since 1976. 1986, well, as a country, we were getting ready to cross the Rubicon. Some of us were. Can you understand I'm trying to sketch the backdrop here and trying to place you in a place, in a position where you understand the mindset and the mind frame of planners and of the writers of legislation in how they chose to shape the city form of South African country. Well, remember, those pieces of legislation are still on the books of provinces. They are still on the books of provinces. And to an extent, has been the core of the spat between Gauteng province and the city of Joburg in the Constitutional Court. anecdotally attempted to illustrate those last four political. So there is the need to change planning law. The second one, and I'm really not going to spend too much time here because a lot of it we've talked about in Adelaide's presentation on accreditation. What are the functions of the various departments or offices that are responsible for accreditation? We have an idea of what National Housing is responsible for. We have an idea of what provinces and then of what municipalities are responsible. I think regardless of the constitutional mandate of local government and the whole debate around the mandate and so on and so forth, communities are full of the opinion that municipalities provide housing. I think it's no more evident than in the service in the process that you've been working on. So I'm thinking, well, I'm going to pose the question of the BMG, though, has something very specific to say about the role of municipality. The argument being that housing cannot be separated from land use management, from town planning and infrastructure. Particularly in the context of human settlement in Durban. Remembering that human settlement in Durban is very, very different from housing in Durban. Second point is that housing planning needs to occur at local level in order for investment to be formed positive. And the whole debate thing around forward planning, putting together ideas that are indicative of the growth of that municipal area of jurisdiction, but even more importantly is the regulatory aspect thereof. When and under what conditions land is going to be used, where investment is going to go, and so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, we've seen this presentation before. I spoke to acknowledge Rashmi. She obviously has a lot of time and money to put that together. If you have not seen this slide before, it begins to illustrate the complexity of funding and of planning streams in putting the human settlements together. All of this, by the way, lands in some shape or form at the door of the municipality. What I'm wanting to illustrate with this slide is not only the plethora of grants that are available, but the complexity that lies within how funding for shelter is very different to the manner in which provincial or Costa, for example, uses the funding for infrastructure. And I'm sure the point has already been made on a number of occasions to this committee that the timing of the release of this funding is not really, really well aligned. Now that, all of this inhibits the ability of local companies to plan efficiently and spend efficiently. All of which has an adverse effect on planning in general and then on stores. So, my last few slides, where does this lead us? The point has been made previously, but I think that there is broad consensus that the country needs to be planning that. We need a shared vision of the kind of settlements that we want to achieve, ones that are efficient and ones that act in the interest of the poor. The slide that I showed, I think it was the third or the fourth slide that shows these various pieces of land and of planning legislation located all across government, we need a home, a single home for planning legislation. And we need legislation that moves beyond setting guidelines to legislation that is far more prescriptive around how planning occurs, how specifically land. We spoke about this about an hour and a half ago. We increased the role of local government and the strengthening of the hand of local government in the We need to remove any ambiguity that exists. Now, accreditation is one of those processes. But I'm of the view that there's a legislative process that is also defined that removes some of those ambiguities that exist between provincial and local government. I've talked about moving from the normative or guidelines to one which is far more prescriptive. With regard to the funding sources, there is a strongly held view that all of those grants that I've shown previously are not needed to be rationalized in order that they are best managed by the end user, i.e., unit managers. And then, specifically with regard to our department, when we talk about the conditional grant, yes. The Housing Act talks about the vision for how we see the housing and human settlement delivery. PNG talks about it. I pose the question, has the time not come that we begin to become a lot more tighter around the conditions that we set for the use of the ground? For example, location. The density, the number of units on a piece of land that we need to put out. And without going into they all on the urban edge or on the periphery of Cape Town. The interesting number though below them is the number of people attended. This is not scientific. Basically what I have done is measure a hectare of the joiners from Google Earth, and in doing a little roof count, that's the number we come up with results. Gordon's Bay, that same number is 12 dwelling units. Well, we begin to beg the question, does a storm necessarily only relate to poor people, to low income groups? In my view, the infrastructure over here is far better utilized than the infrastructure down here. Just a similar example, I don't think you know the local mosques out of the end road, just for Trifontaine, which is probably for us in Trifontaine, correct? And then the bottom one there is the Edinburgh, just outside Somerset West. Again, have a look at the strong contrast in numbers and the manner in which public money is being used. Service human techniques on the urban edge. I just want to a few last concluding comments or remarks. All of this occurs on land. And we know that land is a finite resource. I think we need to start dismissing the panacea that being able to accommodate all low-income groups on well-located land, and this is what we bracket seems to be well-located land. It's not good. It's not good. And that we need to stop this narrative for what are those alternatives. An interesting report done by the City of Cape Town, and their books will show you that on average they pay a million rand a hectare for land. A million rand. Well, admittedly, that is, if one takes the measures across the country, it is on the high end. But if even during the one household process, and you're doing 40 on average, 40 units, 30 or 10, you do the sum. It just is not a smart way. There's an efficient way of conducting our business. And if I just went back to the previous slide there, you could see. This, by the way, was the few years ago, the one house on Florida. But can you see the informality that has taken place? And through that informality, how identification is taken place. It's not part of the discussion here, but just for your interest. Something else, and I'm giving Cape Town as an example again, there was this notion about moving the CBT. We're not going to be able to locate everybody on well-located land within the center of the city. You need to start looking at alternatives. Well, Cape Town has come up with almost an oversimplified of moving the CBD, the town of the city, but the notion of it actually used to make a lot of sense. For those of you who know Cape Town really well, the city has made a concerted attempt establish nodes outside of the city center, right? And the Philippines is the what is that place? Catholic, public communities, and public service. So, where previously it took you 45 minutes to get from Kailicha, to get from Mitchell Spring into town, it now takes you 20, it now takes you 25 minutes. Where previously over Saturday or Sunday, you needed to get into a taxi to get from there to either to Belleville or to Cape Town to do your shopping. Now the interesting thing is that the private investment has been affected because the public engagement and the public confidence has been placed. So it really does require that we not look at and I'm hoping that I've through my presentation made the point that we not only look at the aspect of store in isolation, but we look at it as part of a bigger problem, and then deal with it deal with the solution far more holistically. But just in summary, those three issues that I've listed, secondly, those ambiguities that exist between sectors and across spheres, that needs to be sorted out. And thirdly, the manner in which we can use our grant, and it's not only applies to the housing grant, but we call it the settlement grant. And we need to look at how we use that money a lot more. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. All very interesting. I want to just say, I mean, obviously, gentrification in policy is the direction that we are moving in. We've spoken a lot over these last 2 days about how people are moving into the cities where they keep going away. But I want to say that where we do have that, and I'm part of that, we desperately want to densify, but the funding does not allow you to do that in such a big extent because it's far more expensive to go with the blocks of place. Now, I want to say that just 2 years ago, I think it was, we traveled to Spain, and in the first, they are putting up block after block of beautiful infrastructure flats for people who are flocking there into the city. And I love the idea of the, you know, the infrastructure, and I think it's based on what we looked at yesterday. And we were talking about, you know, sort of, because there isn't land, in the city to build up, but I think there's something quite creative there in what you said about platform. And perhaps we need to be looking at that, so that because there is on the periphery of the city, there is land. And once we build all the amenities out there, so the infrastructure to bring people into the world, I think that's a whole thing. But I just really wanted to make a point about the gentrification, which we need to do of those very valuable pieces of land that we do still have in the city, but unable to do so. And so what's happening is, that we're just putting single unit housing there when actually we should already be building it. Thank you very much. Can I mention? Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Ron. My name is Mr. Allen. The last one is very nice. I'm the point for me on the inefficiency of the current system, which means that we are still participating, rather than that, I think, related to those ordinance from the public. I think one of the things that I've enhanced from my students in passing on the previous presentation, it looks like it is a problem, and it really means because now we are moving very fast forward. But there are other issues that are putting us back. So we are asking it to move forward politically. So I think the time has come that we look at that. And another issue I was thinking that I don't know whether this happened, but you think of the issue of the architect. If how is it considered on this matter? Because we do have the South African architectural whatever. I don't know how far I mean, they've been drawn up even within the process of human settlement development process. Because for me, I think it's very much important because we're copying the external gift. So I think we need to think about the people as well. And then we look at it, how can we say things that are happening. I also want to check which countries can be led with the best of the information to the social media. But for now, I think I can talk.
Thank you very much.
Yesterday, I mentioned sort of important, and I made it certainly not coming cheap, that the officials in some of our DNC colleagues seem to address the equality, and I think I can hear you to them as well. Because it's very much what we've been proposing. But, and there's another one that I can note. When you started off, I started formulating questions, and the best is easier to answer the questions. But now I'm going to just sort of return the compliment that the NDA is asking us a question about the Union Finance Program. I don't want to ask you to tell me about the Union Finance Program. Then, I think we need to do, after many years, we've discovered that we need the comprehensive statement. We need to talk to other departments. And the sort of boggles the mind that we don't apply this, we're talking primarily about budgets and things like that. As far as their coordinated telling is concerned. Why do we not do the same thing with legislation? Because one piece of legislation in one department impacts on another piece of legislation in another department. So it's a natural consequence of which you follow on. And I mean, you raised the issue about the utilities and so on. And I think we should, and the department should, within their cluster, start taking this on board. That if our last planning legislation would be 1986, then somewhat an indictment on the past government over the last 30 years that they haven't given any attention to this. So that is just for particularly the DG to take up. Then we're talking about, and again you weren't here yesterday, the alternative to well yesterday. I, for example, mentioned India was an example, the New Delhi. We've got to take a word sometimes to get people to give it. And we actually have to do it in CBDs, which is what they didn't need. And it doesn't have to be on the periphery, it could be 15 kilometers away, 50 kilometers away, where you actually create another city and then you start linking those cities. So there is certainly, I think, an option. And then again, back to the department, I continuously come across this assertion that your higher density is a lot more expensive than your one stand, one house. Now, yes, it is, but I think in the long term, if one can take up all the other hidden costs, the infrastructure, certainly the land costs, it can't be that much more expensive with a double story unit, for example, or two units, a double story, as opposed to having the same two units on two separate pieces of land. And I'd like to ask the department to perhaps go back to the anecdotal evidence and come with something and say, well, we have this development, we have X number of single values, and if you take all the costs 30 watts of the unit. And you got another developer, some issues of high electricity. And so they want to have any form for capital. Because I don't think that it's expensive, it's a little bit more, certainly, but not, for example, quite the cost of what it will be used for the sector. And we need to start getting the facts so that we make informed decisions as we go forward. Because there appears to be what is putting off, certainly from the department side, the development range of more high end. Continuously say, but you know, I'm so much more expensive, we've got to stick to the one half. I believe it's not the case, and we also, we can't just look at what it's going to cost us in the immediate term, construction term. We have to look at the long term benefits and the savings, for example, from the infrastructure, etc.
Thank you, Mr. Ben.
Thank you. them what they should do, I think you can have it as one of the first organizations that is in public schools. But I think they're training, you know, that to me, I get the concept. What is the plan below? But I think what is made for us to ask the question of teachers, how do they want to see their future in the field? Even talking, of course. There are other areas here in the future that I think of the analytical activities. If the government can be able to really negotiate those owners there and try to ensure that they reduce some such ideas. There are a lot of other whole buildings. I think many cities are not sure. I think that also had a problem that had to be resolved before really just take poor people far away from the areas where they were. Because if we don't if we do that, it would be very important to do. But I guess that the rented accommodation would be much more preferred than the education. Because it's very easy for people who are maybe there that people they not their identity rather than you know people like that for that reason. But people when they own. They tend to understand what is the certification of the potential. And then I guess that as long as our cities are growing, I think they're proper planning on social action. I guess the housing, the human section and education should be actively led to build some capacity for people just to do, not 5 years' time, but in 10 years' time, how do I do here? And whether you the argument that this integration of teachers, training men, it tends to create a great problem for inactivity. The argument against punishment and one thing, and this learning is what was said, that's what we thought of. That once you start training men, people leave the inactivity. And they start going there, then the whole inactivity starts to change. And then that's another problem that is there. And I guess the human settlement department do this. And I think what the National Department allows us to do is the local level. I don't think it's only the role of the local, the provincial government to do it. If the National Department is at the top of the level, they should be able to do it. And also, I have just a start saving of this, which is, I think we don't do that. And I guess that the Evans Ford problem, I'm just saying, I'm not sure what is the Evans Ford for that. An effort for an effort for a problem will happen. And then we'll be unable to do that. I think to me that's what I wanted to raise my point of the passing subscribe is important in future at school. And then otherwise it's very difficult, I guess, to put new mass infrastructure. And then if we can do that. And I think engagement with community and persuading on people to accept that certification. But again, there is a social problem. And many people try to don't want. There are people, a lot of people in Alexandria who try to persuade them off. Well, no, Alexandria, they're time there, surely. If you want to buy a tender, it would be more expensive because they have a time there. Also, the catchment area and house. And then please, why can we do this for a story? They say, no, don't want to. Other people are going to be jumping there, making a lot of noise that I'm all mad. And I think that is a big social problem that we have to be addressing. When the time moment is jumping, really. I think people are saying this thing jokingly, but generally, their mindset is not, they don't want that. That's why we do this structure. Even here, having the effort here, if they approach anyway, what is in the approach to the situation. I don't think we're going to have all these structures that we're having. So it's going to be nice for a lot of easy to accommodate a large number of people. I don't think that's something we're worth less. I know that some of the land is there to take people to not get paid, but I think it's a charity who has there for many years. But people want to be near areas of wealth, then that's a very good situation. That's the one that I want to say.
Thank you very much. And what? South of African Party, fine. Well, what is the mission? And then you can start to look at some of the other issues.
Which city?
Clearly, currently where we are, we have for various reasons cities who are responding to growth. Now, if there's a lot more when I talk about school, both look at it both from the aspect of low income and the high income school. The dynamics are very different, but the effects are equally detrimental. When you talk about low income school, it is quick, it is harsh, and it is blatant. And it comes to high income, well, again, you don't have to be on this problem. And the whole structure with the golf district, well, not only in this problem, which is golf district as an example. But I think this is in this case, and this would be all the way up to court, and we also would be quiet, and so on and so forth. And all of that really is a reflection, in my view, of a city responding to growth rather than being in a position to manage it. Now, in clauses would cite, at this point, would cite the example of Swanee making, in putting their IDP and their housing plan together. They said, we have these funds at our disposal, the literature refers to it as an infrastructure moratorium. Swanee said that over the next 5 years, we are only going to use the fiscus in these specific areas. If you want to build high income stuff anywhere else, you're going to have to pay for it. And so you'll find that in Swanee, the growth has occurred by and large the northwestern region of Victoria. So you have, for example, what is the actual one? Even a bush, for example, is an example where the city has said, this is where we need to put our public money, and then you have a finance institution and all of the other private sector investors saying, well, if that's where you're confidently putting your money, that's where you need to go. So I know I haven't answered your question directly, but that, in my view, is the exit test. When a city is able to manage and direct rather than respond to growth. Thank you.
Thanks, and that is what I'm really saying is in the existing development we've got this system in pockets of land we are putting there, and I'm referring now to the case of that area in Turkey, and we're putting there in single use, and so we're not going to knock those down and come and put up blocks of flat. So that's utilized that way. And on the basis that it was too expensive to put the blocks of flat. And I know that I was actually involved in trying to get that on the ground. So, you know, that's the point of that. The other thing I want to just refer to, and that is when we're talking about the interesting case, I think it's of concern, and perhaps we need to, perhaps we've got something on the floor, and that is in our new development, where are we at? Of going on the ground, and that is where we are, as we see it in the fact that we see it when we see the people are putting shack-like structures onto the nice brickwork. Now, I think they all start to harvest that people can extend them. But then, what have we got in place that says, you know, this is a standard that we need to keep to? Are we working on anything like that? Because I think that's what that one slide was also showing us. It's a bit small for me to see, but I think there's some steps attached to that. Thank you very much. Anybody else who wants to raise any other questions before we tie up and start up? I'll be happy to. Thank you. much for that. Maybe I'll see if you can honorable members that as far as the projects are concerned, in fact, as far as the priority projects, and I'm talking about, for example, Dunning Gorla, we started to deliver houses, and we have seen this happen, unfortunately, but we've actually made it very clear, and even the local councils are behind us. And what we're saying is that if you get a house in government, your shack goes away. So as your house, as the head of the city, the municipality takes all your materials with you. Yeah. Unfortunately, some people will go and gather the material again and put up a shack. Something that we constantly need to bring to the notice of. And maybe one of the other issues that we need to look at, and I haven't been able to put it up yet, but as we wind up now, and I'd like to get a piece of information and closing now, that's in order for lunch. I get very good support on that from my ladies, and I think that the people are really happy with that. If that is so, I will get a little permission. And the permission of the other members to just try to find that. Unfortunately, the caucus has already happened to get something in your address. But what we will do is that we will just find that. What I will do now is try to highlight some of the issues that we as a department need to take back, and that we will, at some stage, in the new year, we will talk to Kolinka, and we will then try to arrange a follow-up session if that is necessary, and I will be guided by yourself, and I will be guided by our SDG, so that we can ensure that the processes don't stop, that we constantly talk to each other. I think that's very important. And because I have not had the opportunity to address your last issue, the question of yes, it is something that we need to do, and what you're saying is that we probably need to have a relook at the kind of policy, whether a policy position can be put together specifically for that. Because one of our difficulties is that we vote policy for individual companies, for individual units. We can have it for projects, for big projects, for big things, but and then we have rental for stock walk-ups, but actually building double stories or triple stories or whatever goes into them, that kind of problem is something we need to look at. And that is something that I will need to have to do that. But in the meantime, can I just look through all the presentations? Well, we've seen four presentations today. And what I've done after the four, I've simply picked up some of the issues, and if you don't mind, I'll quickly go through them. So we all have our consensus as to what we said, and then we can take it from the problem we can go forward. Chairperson, I'm going to start with day two. We start with the presentation, and as far as that is concerned, we excuse me, my understanding was that we said we need to monitor and evaluate the risk municipalities. We need to undertake due diligence processes continuously and assist those municipalities to grow and sustain themselves as also, we need to ensure that the entities are briefed during the process of accreditation so that they do not just run step we need to assist provincial departments to manage difficult municipalities. We also need to inform the portfolio committee about the plans to resolve issues in relation to the use of the HSA for citizens for accrediting municipalities. We also need to ensure that accredited municipalities show horizontal and vertical capability to create human settlements. We need to relook at the content of the document presented to encompass accreditation for human settlement purposes and not just accreditation for housing. We must not delay the process of accreditation. Capacity of secondary cities in bigger towns needs to be built. Ensure that there is a focused team of national departments to undertake the accreditation functions. Then we go to the presentation done by Mr. Mayor Mabel. need coordinated planning as well as coordinated approach to legislation. More interaction is required by state departments and administration to affect things happening. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
presented to all of us here, we just can be closer before we do so, like our expert to sum up and close for us. And from my side, I just want to say thank you very much for the healthy debate, the healthy discussion. It really has been very meaningful, and very this intersection is really important. And I really want to say how grateful I am for making yourself available to the process and to help the process. So thank you, and I just want to thank you for the last so. Are you going to that one?
You have a study
number.
I'll go to that close. Open manner, friend, and even flexible for the area of hand. And I think certainly the input that we have of substantial value for us in the areas where quality is missing, and this is going to be absolutely the one that comes to the point and the some of those issues. Particularly, I think, encouraging what you are doing, both on the practical aspect of the commission. I certainly can be also infused in that political nuance as well. But practical, I think, is not what. For development in general. And I think that's important. We are having that is important. I certainly think that my colleagues will do a follow up and watch out to the committee and will identify me what they're trying to do. Because they told me would be charging. I think you can allow the committee to perform. People can understand that they have. A committee with a different, a committee that is interested in the business that we are doing, and certainly that the people are encouraged by their participation in it, and that they know now that they are one of the issues. Members of the committee, I would like to thank you for your time. I know that you have not yet. Members not in the community at home. Or if they are, they are not doing they may not be doing the substantive work in the community. I would think that that is not going to work. We would like to thank you for your time and strength. If we don't see you in focus on the way you have managed I am going to say that they are only ourselves in our family. They call penny and poison and ceremonial call of distress, particularly from members from the constituency. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Papa Director. I wish to
conta, because without your effort, we say workshop would not be substantial related. I was thinking today you were learning from this time. We have some little bit tension from our meeting, the time that I told things are not going well. But I think through this interaction, we'll realize that no, something is happening, but there are some underlying aspects that we need to have a meeting. And I think this interaction was very, very useful for us, and it also created a space for us to understand that we are a family, we are a team that has got a common goal and has got obligations to fulfill. So if we distance ourselves from each other, definitely we won't be able to achieve what we are supposed to be doing. So I think we during this interaction we managed to come at a wider goal. And we didn't need to think about that we are going to go to that extent. But it also assisted the portfolio committee, because there are legislations that are underway. For instance, the last situation, I think that led to the management. He has been there for quite some time, for the last set time. But he has just been sitting there in the corner. No one would like to touch. But I think today we are having a strong fight now that we have to take with him so that he can, otherwise we don't run away from him. So we have got that energy now. Because I think we in the third parliament, we didn't know how to go about it. Well, we're still waiting for the time to come. But I think it's going to happen now. It's a good application because we will receive this on the right time. Instead of bringing the legislation, do it, then we'll give it to this training, other than your opinion. But now we're giving it to us several times to do everything, and then when you come to the arrangement. And I think this is the action we have to continue, because that's where we get to be of the matter, rather than going to those common meetings. Because those common meetings are for the specified time, limited time, so everybody does action, action, action. But here, we're without presenting, and we are like, everybody was changing here, even when we disagree, we do that we have to disagree with our faith. But it was not something that could not be managed. It was something that was very healthy. So I think this way of managing is one of the remarkable and the best sessions that we think we will have ahead. But don't, and I don't think we'll have ahead. But we have had in the previous parliament. And I hope that we will continue in this spirit. And I think the other thing that we need to look at is in our resolution, we said we to look at the each officer is covered at the province. One of the things that we have to do is for beneficiaries, that register, whatever it is, whatever. I think we have to tie up that one. And then I was thinking of the safeguard policy. I don't think we need to have a safeguard policy because of this integration, that's a national housing, that's also. But what we need to do there, we have to tie something that relates to the medical system, we will see that we have to discuss with a lot of our master's, there's still a need to but for me, I don't think there is a difference. Spending holding, but we need to put something on the property that I have there. Well, I will put it to the definition today, if there is a need. You could say that those people are still excluded, but we can work around that for the world issue. And then another issue I want to ask the book is the not letting me to the register. This is that thing. I thank everybody. I thank the staff from the department and also thank the research community. Fortunately, whatever information we have given us, we are going to verify those other research processes that are going to do some work for us. And Jen is here, thank you very much. But the special thanks goes to the federal government. They are going and customizing the economy. They support the idea of giving to the office of the community. They are really unbelievable. And I wish to say another member, because for him, you could have said those, especially in them. We are busy in our constituencies now. We are on road for the country, but I never experience that. So I think it's like a system really we all need to be we know that this work is for all of us. I really appreciate the support that we are trying to take in this sector. And we go to it, I bet you wish everybody to enjoy themselves together, get into touch with business, and then we come back and we go ahead and talk to us here. Then we come back. And when we come back, prepare that era to begin in the next year. Thank you very much.